AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Salute, gentlemen. Salute. RBD number 9, maybe?
Number 9.
Boy, I'm still standing a little bit too close to the microphone. I'll just slide back here a little bit.
What are we drinking tonight?
The only thing we had left was Bulla.
Yeah, she's a little bully.
Bulla got a tough rank the first one. I feel like it's redeemed itself.
It is a go-to bourbon. Not the first I pull off the shelf, but it's not.
Not as good as the Tin Cup Mountain.
No, that Tin Cup Mountain whiskey was pretty darn good.
That was shockingly good. That was a good pull, even though we had no information on it when we...
No, I was at the liquor store today, and I was eyeing a couple of ones up, but I don't know where to go anymore. Like, I was looking at Japanese whiskey, and I was like, made from rice, and I was like, I'm good.
Look,
I can't do it.
We have to just go back to blind buying.
The only thing I hear...
I did, though. I didn't even look them up. And I'm like, I don't know where to go. Like,
the only thing I hear when he says Japanese whiskey is sake, sake, sake.
Man, I got some sake.
And that was another thing, is like, you can tell that A, it's made from rice, and B, that it's like not... aged in a barrel, because it is very, very light colored.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's incredibly light colored. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I didn't pull the trigger, but we'll have to see some other.
We'll get something in here soon, I'd imagine. Well, we got a few other things lingering.
We got some other ones. We got some Woodford Reserve 00.
Yeah. So, what's up? We went fishing, didn't we, gentlemen? Or Matt went fishing and...
Matt and I went fishing locally. Matt went fishing out on Erie, and then you and me and a couple of buddies tried our luck on Ontario. So.
We floated in a lake for...
We went for a boat ride, put it that way.
Yeah, so this will be a little different in the beginning than what we normally talk about. We will have an archery-related guest on here a little bit later, but I figure since we have been doing a bunch of fishing, or not a bunch, these two have been doing more fishing, and I was just basically on a boat floating around.
Getting sick,
puking over the side. I figured we could talk a little bit of fishing, something in their wheelhouse more than mine. But, yeah, so you went up to, what, Lake Erie with your dad?
Planned it a couple months ago, and we were going to go the weekend before the 4th of July, but the way it's planned... My dad has a lot to do at the store that he helps run, so we ended up on this date and just happened to be before 4th of July. Scheduled a full day of smallmouth fishing with full fishing guide service out of Buffalo.
How'd you find it?
I was listening to the Serious Angler podcast, and the guide also hosts the Lure Lab podcast.
So you were familiar with this guy before you went out?
Yeah, I was pretty familiar with him, the way he keeps up on all the techniques.
How old is this guy?
mid-30s.
Oh, he's a kid. So he's your age.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty close.
And you guys went for purely smallmouth?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the goal. My dad, ever since I had known, had never really caught a smallmouth except for like one time on complete accident in a lake that should not even have smallmouth in it.
Do they not have smallmouth in Texas?
There are smallmouth in Texas, but it's very few select lakes.
So I mean, a few times I've met your father, I know how much he fishes. Right? In fact, we were just talking about it. He was up here. He's got his own boat. He's like you. Yep. He's got all the stuff. So what is he fishing for down there mainly?
He's mainly fishing for largemouth.
So he's largemouth fishing.
Yeah.
So
Texas is very well known for largemouth.
Are you fishing for smallmouth different than you're fishing for largemouth? Did he have to like kind of play a different game, or is he fishing the same way he would? Or is basically you guys just going on a boat and the guide is telling you, this is what we're throwing, this is what you got to do, this is the depth or whatever?
So any question I had for the guide, he answered it right away. He didn't hold any secrets back. He showed us exactly what we were looking for on the depth finders and all that stuff. Growing up, me and my dad were mainly beating the banks, shallow water stuff. I doubt we ever really even fished over 10 foot. Like, we were all for the big topwater blow-ups. The only time that we got deep was when they were on top schooling, and you could throw a topwater at them and start catching them.
You told me you could catch some of them fish like way deeper than I thought. Like you were out on Erie, making it sound like you could have went out a mile off the shore and caught them.
Oh, we were every bit of 2 to 3 miles off the shore.
Really?
Oh,
how,
yeah.
How deep was that?
We were in 30 foot.
Okay, so that's a whole different thing from Ontario.
But like, there were guys, like, it was rough that day, is the reason why we didn't go out further.
I saw the pictures. It looked rough.
But there were guys 3-4 miles out from us.
Really?
Yeah. So
I mean, are they still in 30 feet of water out there?
I don't know what they're in out there.
It's got to be a completely different layout, right? Because we were almost a mile and a half, and we were in 100 feet of water on Ontario. So you've got to be a very gentle
slope. I think it depends on where you go out of.
Yeah,
really.
You were hammering.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen the pictures. Like, we would – he had a couple of spots marked from where he had taken clients and previously caught fish. So we'd go over those areas, kind of – idle around, look at the depth finder, figure out where he wanted to fish, and we would see just like little marks on the depth finder. He's like, all right, that's fish, that's fish, that's fish. Now, me and my dad have kind of got back into fishing through whatever life we've had. We've kind of had to take a break in between it. Now we've both kind of gotten back into it.
He's got a boat, right?
Yeah. And now, like, depth finders that we're using now are ages above anything that we ever thought about using before. So it not only was it a fishing trip, it was also a learning trip, too, for us.
Yeah.
Like, we could sit there and, like I said, any question I had, I was asking the guy what size line he was using, what type of rods, what type of baits, what exactly he's looking for when he's idling around, scanning for fish and stuff.
Well, so like what kind of baits are you? I mean, because you guys caught a pile of fish, right?
So, yeah,
I think you said you caught 30 or so.
Yeah, we caught well over 30 fish.
So
that
then
day.
What were you using?
So we're primarily using spinning rods with like 15-pound braid going to like 8 or 10-pound leaders, 8 or 10-pound like fluorocarbon leaders, like a clear sort of leader, because a lot of times these fish get hammered on and they get a little shy. So if you go down there and they can see everything, they'll start getting shy and they'll shy away from everything. But if you start going to a little bit lighter to where they can't really pick up on that line or stuff like that, you can usually trigger them to bite. So what we do is you kind of just cast it out and the lure would sit about a foot above the weight and you just kind of move it along just slightly and those smallmouth would see it and come up and just hit it. But it, that light a line, you can't snap set into them. If you go and put a big hook set on them, you're going to break everything out there just because of how light that leader is. So you pretty much just have to start reeling down into them and lift up on the rod and everything will set the hook that way.
You said those fish are averaging like four pounds a piece, right?
So our best five went 25.74 pounds, which is a decent bag for out there. That's a pretty good bag. I just looked back and last week they cracked a 28-pound bag. That's their best five, all going over 5 pounds apiece.
That guy's still catching them now.
Oh, yeah. They are smashing.
I saw that, how big is his boat compared to your boat?
His boat is a foot smaller than my boat.
Oh.
His is a 19-foot boat where I'm running a 20-foot boat.
Yeah.
But
it looked like a good time. I mean you guys were getting into some pretty good
stuff. Your dad seemed pretty pumped when he got stuff in here Monday. I mean
it seemed like
he could have stood to go on that trip about another dozen times before we went back to
Texas. Oh yeah. No, I could have stayed out there every day that he was here.
And you guys went fishing that Monday before you come back down here, right? A little bit?
Oh yeah. We stayed in a boat. So Saturday we had a guided trip. Sunday we had we went to one of the local lakes here near to us, Kawaneski. It was a little slow. The water color wasn't really what it needed to be, and we just couldn't get on fish there. Then Monday, I said, you know what? We didn't have the greatest luck over there. Let's jump over to Hammond. The water's going to be a little bit clearer. The wind was a little bit more than what we usually try and fish in, but we started in one spot and started going down the shore and I changed tactics a little bit, started throwing a little minigun spinner bait by Battle Baits and just started laying the wood to them. I threw it out, caught one, let that one go, threw it out, caught again. And then I looked back at my dad. I said, hey, I've got more of these in here if you want one. He's back there throwing a soft plastic like usually he always does. And he's like, nope, I'm good. I'll just keep throwing this. So we keep going down the bank, and about that time I threw out. And I lay into one, and it comes up about 3 or 4 pounds. He looks at me and goes, I'll take one of those now. Mm-hmm. So, and then we proceeded to go down the bank. And we had the best day unguided ever on Hammond and the best day that I've ever had on Hammond that day as well. So I think there's just something about that little spinnerbait that you're able to throw. I mean, it's only like a quarter ounce. It's got one single little blade on it. But the way I have my rod set up and everything, I can chunk that thing 75 yards and be able to cover a lot of water. And I think that is the main thing, is we're just covering water looking for fish, too.
And you guys were out last night, the two of you.
Yeah, I was going to say, because there's got to be something about that spinnerbait that's got to be matching the bait fish right
and
now.
And you went to Kawaneski last night.
Yeah, we were on Kawaneski last night.
And we, I would probably say, had the best night we've ever had at Kawaneski.
It was a pretty good night there, too. I got home, and Jen, my wife, looks at me and goes, well, I want to go fishing. Well, obviously, because she's the reason why we have a boat. So she looks at me and says, I want to go fishing, but it's too hot. She goes, well, how about I just tie a floaty up to the back of the boat and off, and y'all can fish while I float. And I, on the way out, I text Dalton and said, hey, Kalineski in 30 minutes. I said, I got floaties. If Shayna wants to, his wife wants to come along and float, because I know she really doesn't fish.
So wet, so the wife, they'll float and the men will fish. And so that's so exactly what we did.
We literally tied them in their floaties to the back of the boat. And we started going down the shoreline fishing, and we were catching fish while they were sitting there floating. And Jen goes, I want a rod. So I gave her one of her little crappie rods that we always have set up in the boat. And she's just back there dragging this bobber and little crappie jig along. And all of a sudden I hear, I think I got one. She reels it up. She, that thing couldn't have been more than 6 inches, but it's still a decent little bass. Just a
little baby bass. But yeah, we must have caught 8 or 9 total bass. I pulled in a muskie.
Yeah, he pulled in the first tiger muskie that's been on the boat.
That was pretty cool.
How big was that thing?
16, 18 inches maybe. Yeah. Nothing crazy.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Last year,
you just catch it on the same thing that you were catching all year.
Oh, they're a full predator fish, right? The problem is I'm lucky it was probably smaller, because if it would have been any bigger, it would have chewed right through my line, because when you're musky fishing, you normally throw a steel leader.
Well, you're also throwing stuff that's like a pound.
Yeah, that too.
Like these big
creature.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I've got them out in my car right now.
I mean,
some of those smaller ones will catch.
Don't get me wrong. I would love to tie into a 40-inch muskie out there on Kalineski, because I know they're out there.
Oh, yeah, they're out there. Problem is it is 100% true that if that is the fish of 1,000 casts, you could put a bait in front of a muskie 1,000 times, and he might bite it once. They are so finicky.
So you caught like a last year's?
Yeah, probably a last year's stocking.
So that tiger muskie is like a hybrid, and the Pennsylvania Game Commission stocks those because they can't reproduce themselves.
Yeah, all tiger hybrids or whatever, they don't reproduce. It's like there's a tiger trout, they don't reproduce.
So they're just putting them in the water just to put them in there.
Yeah, they're pretty much putting them in as another opportunity to fish.
Basically.
I mean, what species are in Kalineski?
Smallmouth, largemouth, lake trout.
No, there's no lake trout in there. There are hybrid stripers.
There's rainbows and stuff.
If they stock them.
Yeah, they stock fishery trout. They right, have, so.
If any of the trout end up in the lake, it's because they come down through the stream.
Kalineski River.
And I would imagine they get eaten up pretty quick.
By?
Muskie.
Anything that's big enough to eat them. Like, a 12-inch trout will easily get eaten by muskie or anything like that. And those muskie probably know when those trout are getting stocked. And then when it starts to warm up, those trout start to die.
Yeah.
So they get slower. Well, guess what? Muskie sees that. It's just
big. How many muskie are in that lake?
I don't know.
I mean, like, are we talking there's huge muskie in there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, like...
I mean, that lake's not too...
Doesn't take that bit much.
I don't find that lake to be gigantic.
No, it's not gigantic. It's, like it's still a decent-sized lake.
It's 5 miles long.
It's not wide. Like, it's over 1,000 acres.
I guess I've been spending so much time up in the Finger Lakes that...
Agreed.
It's oh, yeah. You're sitting on Cuca, and it's 38 miles long or whatever it is.
But for a local lake, it's not a Finger Lake or a Great Lake.
No. I mean, I know.
5-6 mile long lake.
I guess my question, like my.
I don't know how many are in there, but they ill netted a couple last year to do like their study just to see how the population's doing, and they pulled out a 38 incher.
Yeah, they'll pull out like 38 inch muskie, tiger muskie. They've pulled out some over 30-inch hybrid stripers, and I believe it because I've had one at my feet.
There's some nice stripers.
You still haven't got one of them
yet? Not yet, because I got a late start this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the muskie they pulled out, 38-incher.
And
holy moly.
Yeah. I got a late start this year,
that's pretty nice size muskie there.
Being able to really target stripers just yet. And that's something that I've never really done, is specifically try and target them. So
I used to fish for stripers in a Schuylkill, right? But, you know, we'd only go when they were running or whatever, mm-hmm. right? You know what I mean? And you could catch them things out. You could catch them as fast as you could cast.
Yeah,
because they're going on one big spawning run.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was unfamiliar that those fish would be. I just always assumed they were like one of these large river fish. I didn't know that.
Typically, they are.
Yeah.
But when they hybridize them for stocking purposes, they hybridize them so that they grow faster, and they use them just as like a stocking for more angling opportunities. Like these fish, the fish in Kawaneski do not spawn. Those stripers that are in Kawaneski do not spawn.
Is that because they don't want them to overpopulate in there? I mean, like, what's the point of why would the Game Commission put fish in to a lake that can't reproduce? Like, what's the...
Just to draw people, right? You sell fishing licenses, and then that money goes towards breeding more of them on a fishery, and then
what's the downside of them reproducing? I guess is the question that I have.
It's not as controlled. I guess I would
say
they put
them in there because I don't think that those two little lakes, Hammond and Kawaneski, because both of them have stripers. I don't think either one of those lakes has the habitat for those fish to spawn.
They would need a bigger area.
Yeah, so like your stripers and stuff will typically spawn like in the rivers and stuff where the creeks that are feeding Kawaneski and Hammond are not big enough to do any of that.
Not only that, I would argue Kawaneski is, but the problem is if you go where the river feeds into Kawaneski, there's a giant waterfall. Right? Like they can't even go up river. They go like 300.
They're trapped in them.
Yeah, like we say that Kawaneski River feeds Kawaneski Lake because it absolutely does. But when you talk about fish like going up river to spawn, it's not possible in Kawaneski. Hmm. They go like 300 yards and they hit a 100-foot waterfall. Hmm. So I think it's just more of a draw. Now, Hammond, I feel like, is a better fishing lake. But the problem with Hammond, Matt and I've talked about this, is Hammond is also like the sport lake for like water skiing and tubing and all that kind of water sport.
Oh, it is. It is very touristy.
Yes.
Because
I've never even been to lake.
They also have a.
Where is that place?
Just between where I live in Lawrenceville.
You go to Tioga, PA.
Yeah, Tioga.
And then go up there.
Yeah.
But they've got like a huge. Huge RV area.
Camper.
Yeah. Oh. And I imagine like there's a lot of snowbirds up there.
They have a beach right on the lake.
No. Sounds like a resorty kind
of. Hammond.
Kawaneski's just a friggin'.
No, Kawaneski's got similar stuff. Like they've got. And I passed it last night.
They've got RV hookups.
It's all on the north end.
But Hammond's also smaller, like half the size of Kawaneski.
Wide. Kawaneski is just like a just like Finger Lake kind of thing, but on a smaller scale.
But like, you kind of have a guarded area on Kalinowski to the, like the playboats and stuff, because it gets so shallow up on that upper end. But no, we went over there. I mean, there was a couple of boats in the water, but there weren't very many.
Matt's point, I mean, there was 4 or 5 boats last night, maybe 3 or 4, like doing water skiing and water chairs and all, like tubing and all that kind of stuff. But like, we were able to get out of the way. We only got hit by a couple of like waves.
Yeah, this is a Kalinowski.
Yeah, Kalinowski. Hammond's tougher too.
I heard there's like a lot of structure in the water up there at Kalinowski.
Oh, no. There's a lot of stuff that floats in there.
It makes it risque to do all the tubing.
If you're going to go to Kalinowski to pull a tube, you might want to make a couple of laps around the lake where you're going to pull the tuber to make sure that you're not about to run into a 40-foot tree.
Hmm. Yeah, there's some sketchy stuff when it comes to tubing on Kalinowski, because Matt and I have been fishing, and it's like stumps that are like 6 inches under the water surface and stuff like that, where just if you ate it on a tube,
you'd be dead.
You hit it, you're dead, yeah. So to Matt's point, like, it's definitely worth a couple of hot laps running around that lake and being like, this is where we're doing it. Now, there's also sections where they're better than others, right? Like, stuff's not going to congregate and all that kind of stuff, so.
Had we not had the wind last night or these last couple of days, you would have seen a lot of debris all throughout the lake.
Yeah.
Because we ran into a spot where the wind had been beating that shoreline that, had the wind not been blowing, all that stuff would have been out in the lake, and there probably wouldn't have been too many tubers out there.
No, but it's a good lake, honestly, because, you know, you and I were talking about it last night. They've got a really good, I don't even want to call it concession stand. Like, they've got a full, like, lakeside restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a beach down there, too.
There is a beach. There's a big child, like, play area.
And both lakes have Frisbee golf courses.
They do. There was actually a couple people playing that Frisbee golf thing last night, because we were driving and a Frisbee came flying by the car. And my wife goes, what the heck? And I go, Frisbee golf. She goes, huh.
Yeah.
I've honestly contemplated buying like a couple of cheap ones from Dick's Sporting Goods and just going and playing it, because I think it'd be kind of fun.
I could probably shank it as well as I can shank a regular golf
club. Oh, yeah, I look at it. And they do a pretty good job laying it out. I don't know. You and I have been playing a lot of golf lately, not to pivot off the fishing topic.
Don't get me wrong, I'm still not going to break 100, but
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think you would, to be honest with you. We went and played a little bit of golf the other day at that indoor golf league at the Mexican restaurant there in Painted Post. Casa
Mezcal. Did we skip over our boat float?
No, we're just taking a quick pivot.
We'll
get back to our riveting boat float on Lake Ontario here in a minute. No, so, I mean, that's kind of what's been going on in the local aspect. I mean, I think Matt and I are going to – we're going to get out on some of the local lakes a lot more here in the next couple of weeks. And then
– well, now that I got the boat running,
Oh, yeah.
I feel like as well as it should.
That boat did run well last
night.
Now that you plugged that oil
line. Now that I can trust it a little bit more, so I can make a little bit longer runs. And there's going to be some bigger fish getting caught.
Yeah, for sure. But then you've got 4th of July, you're heading to a campground, it's got a notorious lake for some big bass in it. You and I refuse to believe that until I catch one, but supposedly there's 5-pounders and 6-pounders in there that people are catching on glorified hot dogs.
The only thing we ever caught there was what I caught a couple crappies last year, and that was it.
A buzz there. Yeah. But you're doing that, I mean, that's your extent of fishing, but no. Last weekend, you and I and a couple of my buddies went up for my bachelor trip and went to Lake Ontario through a charter. Lake Ontario sport fishing. And
I am still shocked. I mean, we have talked about it many times since we've come back. I'm glad we didn't catch anything, but I am shocked.
Yeah, for those that are listening, if you have an upcoming fishing trip to Lake Ontario, I would consider calling your guide and seeing if you can reschedule, because fishing up there is terrible.
The salmon fishing, they are still hammering smallies.
Smallmouth's about the only thing you're going to catch up there if you're going. Yeah. But yeah, lake trout and salmon right now are horrendous.
Lake trout, salmon. Rainbow trout.
According to our guy, the DEC said that they had a big thermal shock with water temperature. He wasn't buying it, but the amount of bait fish that are floating in Lake Ontario right now is astronomical. I mean, it looks like people just dumped garbage in there. It's just...
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. Not that I've got a ton of experience with fishing on the lakes. I mean, that's only the second trip I've ever made. I went once with Matt and once with you. The time Matt and I went out with Mosier and our buddy Jake, we almost all caught our limit. I mean, we were catching Lakers and brown trout, rainbow trout, whatever.
We struggled even more.
I could not believe that we would go out there and not even get one strike on the line. You know what I mean?
We had one fish that left the bottom and came up like 5 feet to investigate.
I don't know enough about that type of fishing to, critique the guide's technique. I mean, that guy came highly recommended.
No, that guy did come highly recommended. I mean, and then also we went around for 2 days, one before and one after, talking to all the locals and other fishing guides, and they're like, oof, you guys are up here fishing? It's the worst fishing we've seen in years.
Every local we did talk to, in fact, that neighbor fella went out of his way to come over and tell us how poor the fishing has been. And then them old-timers at breakfast Saturday morning when we told them we had already been fishing and that the fishing was not so great, they were like, it hasn't been good last 4 weeks. I mean, so that's kind of a bummer because it would have been nice to catch a bunch of fish. However, the guide is a stand-up dude and offered us a trip for next year. So
For free.
So we're all going to be going back with Lake Ontario sport fishing and same group of guys. And hopefully we pick a better time of the year.
Just a better year in general. Like
in a better year, right? So you got to hope next year is a better season overall, and then maybe we get hooked up in a better window, right? Like I'm you sure said, July, August is better for those type of for that type of fishing up there. So
yeah, no, it is for sure. And
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
That was the thing, is I fully trusted our guide. I mean, he was a standout guy that knew what he was doing, but, I mean, he was jumping through trying to get those fish to bite.
Hey, look, he was throwing everything he had. I mean, I can't blame him. I watched that fish finder all day long, and I can tell you that, I mean, if we marked a dozen fish in 8 hours, I'd have been surprised, right? I mean,
yeah, and that's what he was saying, is he was running a camera a week before on his downrigger just to kind of see, like, the fish he was marking, like, what are they doing? And those fish are just sitting bottom because there's so many dead bait fish in there that they have no reason to chase a lure at 3 miles an hour or 2 miles an hour. They can just move 2 feet and grab 10 bait fish. Yeah. Right? Like, they have no interest.
It did make...
It was frustrating, but I mean, as much as I disliked it in the moment, I'm glad we caught nothing because that was the running joke the night before, was like, we better not catch a fish 7 hours into it and lose our warranty.
I feel like we were talking about how that last hour we were hoping that we weren't going to get into one. But by that time, I just had zero faith that we were going to catch anything.
Right? Agreed.
I mean, like, I get it. I guess it would have been more of a stone miracle had we caught one.
That, but that was kind of my dumb luck. I wasn't thinking like positive. I was thinking more of like, with 30 minutes to go, we're going to catch like a 10-pound brown trout that just randomly bites a line and voids our warranty, and we lose out on all of our money kind of thing.
Yeah, I thought that could definitely be the case, but after seeing sitting on the boat for seven and a half hours, I thought there is not a possible way we are catching a fish in this last half hour. No, I mean, because it was just like there's nothing. There's nothing only, on that fish farm.
Not only were we not catching fish, but I thought this was another baffling like concept. It was a Friday that we went on this fishing guide. We were the only boat out on that lake until about what, noon, and then we saw two other boats.
Yeah, I mean,
and we
like,
covered a lot of ground.
I don't know enough about it to have like a real educated opinion about it. But my thought was at the in the moment was the fishing isn't great, and the weather wasn't ideal. Now I know the guide said that that type of weather is better for fishing.
Yeah, the choppy.
But I don't know if it's better for guiding. Like, I think if you had clients, they would probably prefer to be out on how the waters looked on Saturday, right? So, I think it was a combination of why there was no other boats out there is the fishing was poor, and maybe those other clients that were on the, maybe some other charters were like, hey, man, it looks a little rough out there. I mean, look.
Well, look at Thursday night. Thursday night, we stayed in an Airbnb on the lake, and Thursday night there was like 12-foot whitecaps, and we thought, and there was a small boat advisory out on Lake Ontario, and we were like, I guess we'll get up in the morning and see if our guide has canceled on us. Now, granted, the rain had stopped at like 3 in the morning, the lake had settled, but it was still choppy when we went out there for the first 4 hours.
I would probably say that it was borderline. If that small craft advisory was off, it was probably barely off.
It was barely off. I would agree.
Right. So, I mean, we were out there, like I said, we were out there in less than ideal fishing conditions and less than ideal weather, which wasn't a surprise to me when you look around and saw not another single other charter out there trying to catch fish. Right. I mean,
we joked with the guide there when we got out in that first hour, we were standing on the back of the boat. And I was joking with him, and I'm like, I can't stand, let alone reel a fish. Like, how am I supposed to do this? And he's like, just kind of lean against the side of the boat. I'm like, this isn't going to happen. Now, granted, by the end of the day, we were all out there kind
of
just.
End of the day, it was definitely better.
Anyway, I mean, it was a good time.
Oh, look, I mean, I'm looking forward to going back.
I am looking forward to
looking forward to going back with that guy. I thought that dude was a hell of a good captain.
I would right. recommend him if people were to ask me, would you go with him?
Absolutely. Good man.
He knows what he was doing. He had a lot of experience. That's all he does is a full-time job now.
Yep, I would absolutely go back to that guy in a second.
He definitely knew what he was doing, and he was trying like heck to get us fish. So.
Yeah.
But, I mean, anyway, that was kind of the last weekend thing. I mean, there was a lot of other things that went on in the weekend that made the weekend more enjoyable.
Well, that's, sure. You know, that's fishing sometimes.
That is
fishing. Fishing's like hunting. You're not always going to go out and shoot a deer. You're not always going to go out and catch fish.
Yeah, that is for sure.
It also depends on what kind of fish you're fishing for. I mean, if Matt had come back and said he got succumbed on his trip, I think I would have probably been even more surprised, right? I feel like
bass are hard to miss.
I mean, I don't know if they're hard to miss. I mean, you can, but you can. I feel like
I've missed them quite a bit.
I feel like when you're going to go out on a guided trip like that, those guys are studying that area, and they know where all the structure is, and they know where the fish are hanging out, and whatever.
Like, what's biting, like what's hatching.
Like during this time of year, the smallmouth are really hot on a lot of the big lakes. Yeah. Like even some of the Finger Lakes, they'll be pretty fired up. And then once you start getting further into summer, the smallmouth kind of start spreading out even more, and that's when my guide usually really turns around and starts targeting largemouth, which is the reason why we're going back with him, me and Jen, because Jen wanted to do a guided trip. We got a full day coming up August 1st, strictly pretty much for largemouth.
The same place, same guide.
With the same guide, and we could be on any of the Finger Lakes. It just depends on where he thinks the hot bite's going to be that day.
Yeah, no, that should be a good time. But no, that's our goal for Ontario next year, is we're going to try to hit up late July, early August. Because another thing with the Lakers and the salmon is that time of the year, they're getting ready to spawn. And so they're all focused like within a mile of the coast, getting ready to head into the rivers. So they're a lot easier to target. They're in a specific water temp, et cetera. Where we were kind of just shooting for blind, you know, at 100 feet, hoping to hit 50 degrees of water.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it was still a good time.
All right. Well, then we're back. We did a little fishing talk earlier. Now we are joined on the line, Caitlin Boardwell. Thanks for stopping on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
I was upset that I missed you a couple. Well, I was trying to get you on last week, right? Right after the IBO, and I was, you know how busy it gets out there. I was a little upset. I didn't get a chance to see you because I made such a big deal about your return to unknown archery, and I didn't get a chance to congratulate you on ho-humming your way into a third place finish out there, right?
Thank you very much.
I found out to be quite, I mean, that was probably one of the best things that happened out there last weekend. Did you, we had talked before you had went out, and you were like, well, you know, I don't know, and then, maybe I can judge, maybe I, you can, and I thought those two ranges for 2 days were as dark and difficult as anything I've shot in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the girls that I was shooting with were saying that it was pretty tough, but I haven't shot an IBO in 7 years, and I haven't judged in at least 4, so I don't really know what tough is anymore. Like, to me, all of them, you know, they all seem tough, but they were saying that it was pretty tough 2 days.
I would imagine that even though Big Brother Glenn podiumed as well that weekend, and I was happy to see that too, you must have felt a little something that you just returned out of nowhere after 7 years and got on the box on your very first try back at it.
I was honestly, I had no expectations going into it. They lowered the yardage by 5 yards, so I thought maybe I'll try it and see if that five yards makes a big difference for me. I was not expecting to be able to make, let alone, you know, make the shoot off the first one back in, but also podium.
How much like, were you prepping a bunch for yardage judging before you went out, or did you just kind of go out and just say, I'm gonna just see what happens?
The only judging I did beforehand, we did the second leg of the RBD, and I was like, oh, when I get to an IBO target, I'll practice judging, which that didn't go well at all. I mean, most of the stuff was past my max. But yeah, I did that, and then I went straight to the shoot and just did practice the first day there before we shot. Yeah, no, not really any practice at all.
So equipment-wise for there, right? Because I know it's different than the ASA, which you've been shooting a bunch of. Now, were you trying to get closer to the speed cap, or were you just running your straight ASA bow, same setup you're running this weekend in Metropolis, same thing you've been running all season long, or did you try to build more of an IBO-ish
setup? So the only thing that I did change is I put my skinnies on to get some speed, and I actually did run, I have 2 sets of skinnies that I played around with, and I did the ones that are a little bit weaker. They don't shoot as good, but they are faster. But I'm more confident in my shot than my judging. So I thought, you know, the speed's going to make, my good shots will make up for the inaccuracy of the arrow, but I need help with that misjudging that I do the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that, you know, those courses are really dark. I didn't think they were as particularly as hard as what we had shot in Pipestem the leg before. But we had kind of miserable-ish type weather for 2 days. And the scores were, I mean, the scores were pretty, there was a lot more high scores at Franklin than there was at Pipestem for sure. And I was surprised because I thought, it's probably just me getting old. I mean, those targets look like they were all dark and black and a million miles away and whatever. Those woods were really dark. That canopy was so super heavy.
Yeah, it was extremely dark. I mean, and I know from previous times past, you know, I used to judge that when it is dark, it's going to look further. But, you know, I haven't judged in so long. So I did question some stuff, like, am I seeing things right? Or do I need to start taking that stuff back that I remember? So it did make things look further for sure. And I was hitting a little in the middle of my first day. And I finally just went back to taking some stuff off. But
and you're running, you ran your skinnies out there. And you don't, I guess you don't run them for the ASA stuff, right? You're running something different for that.
Yeah, I run 23s. I've run skinnies before, and actually, I'm at the ASA right now. And I did shoot my skinnies today during practice, and I'm actually about to go back to the house and sight in my 23s. And the only reason I had the skinnies was I was coming from another shoot that I ran skinnies for, so I was just seeing if I could keep my setup the same without changing anything, but I'm going to go back for 23s for it this weekend.
I changed the skinnies 2 years ago, or probably 3 years ago, solely based on your opinion of skinny and what we have talked.
They shoot amazing.
Huh?
They shoot amazing. I mean, when you can see what you're aiming at and you're shooting good, like, your groups are incredible.
I think you and I had talked about it a bunch of times, and I just said, I'm just going to try it, and I've never found a more accurate arrow. I feel like even my bad shots end up still going in the middle of the ring. You know what I mean?
When I'm having really, really good days, like, my skinnies shoot like that. I've shot some of my best scores with skinny.
So this season, all season, you've been running your 23s for all the ASA. So, well, probably in Reading, you were running your skinnies, right? You took fifth in Reading.
Yeah, I ran my skinnies in Reading.
And then you had a third place in Benning, third place in Foley. Were you running your 23s there?
Yeah, I was running the 23s.
Yeah. And what bow are you, what concept are you running?
The FX.
The FX?
Yeah.
And how much weight are you shooting on that thing?
I'm at 58 pounds.
Oh. What kind of speed are you getting out of that thing?
So with the skinnies for IBO, I was getting 292.
Oh, that's pretty peppy with that thing.
Yeah, they're exactly 5 grains per pound.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that'll get it done for sure.
Yeah, with my short draw length, I mean, that's pretty good.
And you're running the same bow this weekend?
I am, yeah.
How's practice? Have you had any practice? I mean, you just got out there, what, today?
I actually got here yesterday. We had a red eye from California, and we got here like midday yesterday. So we were at the practice range all day today, which, like I said, I was running my skinnies. But the entire time I was thinking, I should have just brought my 23s to practice. So once we get back to the house, I'm going to change it over. But practice was okay. It wasn't as good as I would like. I was missing a lot of 12s by a little bit, so that's why I'm going to do the change.
And obviously you're not going to go to shooting unknown for the ASA. You're going to shoot your women's, the K 50 or the pro 50 or whatever they got out there.
Yeah. That's not going to be a change I'm making. Some of the girls were excited, hoping that I would be changing. But I know it's something I have way too much fun at, and I love it.
I would think after coming back, no judging and podiuming, they would want you to stay in known instead of coming back and trying to kick your teeth in again.
Me and your brother talked about how much fun it was he had when he came back from shooting known pro, and then he came back to like open pro or just PMR. Did you think it was? Did you have any more or less fun when jumping back into unknown, or was it like just like a stressful thing, or was it like, oh, whatever, I don't care, I'm just gonna go out there and shoot some arrows and see what happens?
You know, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. it was fun shooting with some girls that I haven't shot with in a long time, and you know, just doing something different. But there was definitely multiple targets where I was just like thinking, I would rather I just had my rangefinder right now and I just clicked it and shot the target. Like I said, I didn't hate it, but I definitely have a love for known.
Well, I mean, and as well you should. I mean, for as long as that women's class has been going, I would say that you are one of the, like, at the forefront of that class for the girls, right? I mean, there is a handful of you girls that I associate with that class, and you're one of them, right? Because, I mean, you've had a bunch of podium finishes. You won one last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess that's an acceptable reason to stay in known, I suppose. You don't need to turn completely to the dark side again. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It gives me this adrenaline that I don't get in anything else. And, you know, it's really exciting, especially when you get on this 12 streak of shooting one 12 after the other. And I don't get that when I'm shooting unknown.
Yeah. So
I think unknown out of anything, I get more of a relief when I know that I hit the target, okay?
Well, we've all been there. we have all been there. So you said you were coming back from California, right? So I know last week when we tried to get hooked up, you were out there practicing, and there was a crazy time difference and whatever. So you're out there practicing at the USTAT place, or?
Yeah, we were shooting one of the USTATs. It was SoCal.
Oh, that's where you're at. You're at SoCal.
Yeah.
That just ended. Just last week. That was just last weekend, right? I know Louis finished in second or third or something.
He placed fourth in it.
Oh, okay. It's hard to.
Yeah.
I saw that he was out there. I seen he qualified real good. I think he was right up there near the top. How was the?
They had a lot of stuff going on too, because there was like the individual, and then there was also team trials going on. So I'm still learning the whole thing. It's a new adventure for me. So
this is new for you this year, right? Like, you haven't, to my knowledge, done any of that stuff in the past.
Yeah, I know. This is completely new for me.
What do you think of it?
You know, I like it a lot. I mean, I'm not shooting great in it. At home practicing, I'm doing pretty decent. But the actual shoots itself, I'm struggling with. But I also feel like it's making me a better shooter and kind of evolve. And I practice more and harder trying to get good at that. And I think that's going to... It's not going to do anything but help me in my 3D game as well. And all the people there are really welcoming, and, you know, a lot of them are giving me advice. Wind is a new thing that I'm trying to handle, and every person I talk to has some piece of advice for me to try. But I've been enjoying it.
Well, I'm sure if you're out there with Louis, I mean, he is as seasoned and as good as that at that game as anybody is right now, I would say. I mean, he's definitely someone that's good to train with for that type of stuff, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so now, what are you guys looking at for weather out there this weekend? Is it going to be 120 degrees?
So hot. I mean, I've been ordering a target to our Airbnbs that we're staying at for shoots. And, you know, we go outside, shoot a few arrows, and just get all sweaty and gross. And they're like, all right, we need a break inside in the AC, because it's insanely hot and humid and gross.
What did you say you ordered a target?
Yeah, I just ordered a target off Amazon. It's like $45, and it gets sent to the house we're staying at, and we just shoot it for the weekend. Yeah.
And then do you just leave it at the house?
Yeah.
That is a boss move right there. Try to pull that at Worlds or something.
That's definitely an expenditure.
You write that. Yeah, exactly.
Write that off.
Yeah, and I mean, it costs me when I check a bag, and it costs $45. So I'm like, I'm not going to check at a Target and bring that. I'm just going to order one there and leave it.
That is archery at the next level. I mean, that is a tip to everybody that's traveling.
That's a pro-level move.
That is an absolute pro-level move right there. I never even thought of anything like that. So I know you're not going to be, you're not going to be at the third leg of the RBD, because you're going to be at Outdoor Nationals, right?
Yeah.
In Mechanicsburg.
But you shot well at the second leg. You
shot really good at the second leg.
Thank you. Yeah, I went pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, between you and your brother, you guys are taking full advantage of the weekend payouts for sure. What did you think of some of the changes that we made for this season? versus how we've had it in the past seasons. Are you a fan of the weekend pots? Do you think they're working? Do you think, what do you think?
What do you mean by the weekend pass? Sorry.
The weekend payouts.
Payouts.
Oh, payouts. Okay. I thought you were saying the pass. No, the weekend payout thing, I love it. It's great. I mean, it, especially for me, knowing that I wasn't going to the third leg, I thought, oh, well, at least gives me a reason to come to the second one, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that was definitely our intended kind of, I think for me, I thought that was kind of the intended purpose behind it, was maybe to the archers who may shoot in that top flight, if they can't make them all, it's a way to come to one and maybe make a little bit of money during the summer.
Right.
Or even try for two.
Or even try for two, you know, like you did, right? I mean, you shot two out of the three. I would imagine based on scores, and who knows what anybody else will do, but you're probably sitting pretty good. Even you would have qualified for the top flight, I would think. You're going, you know, you'll be at, it was a tough hit for us to try to schedule on top of outdoor nationals, because I knew we were going to lose some people this year, especially being in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to put it on top of something. I mean, for me, with now that I'm doing the IBOs as well, I'll be home next weekend, and then after next weekend, I'm gone for 6 weekends in a row.
Are you going to be at the third leg?
I'm going now.
Oh, look at you, are hooked back up. I'm telling you, you're going to be back in unknown full time before. Yeah, once you start hitting all them podiums at all them IBOs, you'll be drawn right back. So then I imagine you're probably going to go to Worlds.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, well.
What? Yeah, it's going to be a very busy next couple months for me.
So we asked your brother a similar question around the RBD. What were your thoughts of kind of the change of the courts for the first leg versus the second leg?
Oh my gosh. The first leg was tough. It was so tough. Oh my gosh.
Shocking.
Shocking. It's been a lot more enjoyable for me.
Yeah. Well, I think...
I knew how to shoot then.
I feel like, I mean, Caleb really finds a good middle ground over there. I think he, after a lot of talking with us and whatever, I think he knew what he needed to do and you know, kind of let the shooter shoot and let everything kind of fall into place. I don't think it was soft.
I don't think it was soft. I think it was that happy medium of, like, you know, because you don't want it too easy. You still want challenges. But I think it was that happy medium of, like, okay, I have shootability, but this is not just, you know, I can't just come in and make easy points. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and then people who hit them all, like your brother, who hits, whatever, 12 of 15 IBOs or...
67% of the rings.
Yeah, something like that. It's, I mean, you must have hit a pile of them, too. I didn't even look at your scorecard, but if you were 19... You must have hit.
I hit so many more 12s than I did IBOs. I think I only had like maybe 4 or 5 11s. The rest of my stuff was 12s.
Now, you said earlier you were judging the IBOs, but you were ranging them before you shot them, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I only asked because we had a female archer do that a couple of years ago here at RAM, and we came off with their lowest score ever.
Yeah, I would not imagine anybody would fare too great coming to one of these events and trying to judge. Well, I mean, maybe yeah. People that are really good at judging.
Maybe next year for Pipestone, it'll be your prep.
Yeah, that'll be it. I'll just go out and judge RBD the entire time.
Yeah, no, my thought process was, like, this is going to be the only time I see IBO targets before going to the shoot, so I might as well try and look at them a little bit. But, yeah, I'm definitely using the rangefinder before I shoot it.
What a... You know, on your side of the range now that they moved... You girls into 45.
Yeah.
You've got the semis and the pro pin guys on your side of the range, right?
Yeah.
Does that make for a long day over there? I mean, I feel like we're moving at a clip. Like, now that it's just PSR and PMR on our side, I feel like we are moving way. I couldn't figure out why they didn't move semis over onto the blue and make one range blue, one range green.
Yeah, it definitely slowed things down. I feel like our second day we did move faster. But, I mean, I see it in the ASA as well, because ASA, we share a practice range with the – or not a practice range, our shooting range, we share with the senior pros. And both at the ASA and this one, you know, we caught up to the guys. We waited for quite a while. I mean, we watched the group in front of us shoot every single one of their targets with probably 10 targets.
Really?
Yeah, it was slow.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it must have been moving a little slow, because it didn't seem like you guys were clearing way after we had already all walked off.
Yeah, but, Glenn, he texted me when he was done, and I think I still had like 5 targets to go at least.
I was pretty happy for Glenn. He'd been putting a lot of hard work in. It was nice to see him finally like kind of break through the wall there.
I knew it was going to happen. I mean, so many times he was first guy out, and, you know, he finally made it. So
he shoots,
got that monkey off his back.
He shoots too good to not be up there, right? I mean, like, I feel like he is as consistent as anybody is, right? I mean, his lows aren't as low as some other guys' lows. So he is normally always kind of right, keeping toe in the line, right? So I knew it was just a matter of time. I mean, with 2 more shoots left, he'll probably fare well on both of them for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, he could shoot known so well, too. So I think, you know, once he gets his judging, like, I mean, it's getting better for him. And once he has it spot on, I mean, he's going to be pretty dangerous for them.
Well, look, everybody told me that you're the best board ball archer, so that is the word on the street.
I'll try and keep that.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for jumping on, kid.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Good luck this weekend. And thank you. I guess I'll see you. And what's Nelsonville's in 2 weeks?
Yeah, yep.
All right. Well, have a good 4th. Good luck out there. Tell all the boys I said hello.
I will.
All right. See you, Katie.
All right. Thank you. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.